Jill Brammer.
I'm here.
Zachary Baker. Maureen Blakemore.
Here.
Dale Calvert.
Here.
Glenn Grabowski.
Here.
Graham Hughes.
Here.
Richard Mayers.
Here.
Larry Marotta. Jean Mortimer.
Here.
Kathy Rivers. Alexis Freiberg.
Here.
Jim Sayer.
Here.
Jeffrey Stewart is here. Zach Janser is not. Dale Horn.
Excellent. Do we have an audience? No? Hi.
Hi.
Then just we are still.
No audience today, and then minutes. I need to admit I just want to do over. I know. It still has a star next to it.
You want a motion?
Yeah, does anybody?
You want a motion or approve the minutes?
Second.
This is second.
Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We do. Right along. Chair report none. Administrator report, please.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Wonderful to be with everybody again. And first and foremost, I want to wish everybody Happy New Year. You know, we haven't connected in person yet. Just want to wish everybody, you know, your families, colleagues, a healthy, great start to the new year. So I'll try to get through these bullet points quickly. On-street parking meter status report, 190 meters currently out. Our supervisor, Joe, is out in the field right now assisting in getting those back up. We reassigned or reshuffled a couple of our staff members. So we have a new staff member since we last met. That's assigned to the collections and to the repairs. He's learning really quickly, and we're also going to be purchasing about 300 backup batteries for the meters. Those go out quite often. That's going to cost us about $11,000. So that's on the order, and we're anticipating to get those back in service. As soon as those batteries come in, we should be in good shape, and the goal is to be fully, you know, 95 to 100% operational by the time the gem show starts. That's the goal. So, any questions about the meters?
Has there ever been any discussion about reducing single space meters down to like by block kind of thing?
The pay station?
Right.
Yeah, we discussed that quite a bit. And that's always an option, you know, when we're looking at installing new meters such as at the Mercado area, we're talking with them about using those pay stations. I want to say the cost of a pay station is $10,000 to $15,000, somewhere in there. One of the considerations with pay stations is that if they are damaged, there goes your whole block. But you're absolutely right, meters do tend to go out quite often, and keeping up with it is a struggle.
I mean, what's the percentage do we know of folks that pay at the actual meter versus the mobile?
Yeah, we do have that percentage. We actually looked that up recently another division who's planning to do an app as well. I don't have that off the top of my head. I want to say a majority of folks pay at the meter itself with cards or coin, but I could be wrong. But a lot of revenue does come in through the app. It looks like JR's looking that up, and I'm not going to put him on the spot right now, but we do have that information. We'll
I wonder if just a marketing effort push just on the mobile side would shift the slate. Not that, but when there's 130 now, that's a pretty
190.
Yeah. 190. Yeah.
Out of about 1,800?
1,800.
1,800.
So for the percentages, coin at the meters is 56.6%. Credit card is 22.6%, and then pay with the app is 20.6%.
Oh, that's
so coin.
Yeah.
I'm
surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Who
yeah.
has coins? I've never used the card or the app or the card computer. I use them probably four times a week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of coins in your
right
couple.
Here. Yeah, because I'm only going into a place for, you know, 15 minutes.
Yeah, I'm more of a credit card person myself, but yeah, I you're right. And Amanda, we can look at that, you know, increasing the awareness for the app. We do have the stickers and the signs out on the streets, and the information is on our website as well. But maybe it's part of our campaign.
So if the meter's out operationally, what is the, do they have, does the customer have to move or pay by mobile?
Pay by mobile, right? You have your app, you're still responsible to pay, you have the app option. And what we try to do if the meter's out of service, we put a little piece of paper in there with a QR code for the app and say, sorry, it's out of service, you know, here's the app. You know.
They can pay by phone as well.
Oh yeah,
pay by but there's a phone number that they can just call in and pay so that they don't have to download the app. Very and true. So those are the couple options that we make them do.
But if a customer parks at a meter that's out of service, they're not liable for?
We'll still enforce the time limit. So we'll still, if it's a 2-hour meter, we'll still chalk that vehicle and do the time limit. But if the meter is dead, the agents will not enforce it. We're just trying to get them to pay through the app or through the phone.
If that's gotten figured out too. I remember at Iowa, University of Iowa, folks were intentionally making them malfunction because they knew they were going to get a little ticket. Pour a little liquid in there and it fries the battery.
Some of our damage that we see is objects stuffed into the coin slot, right? We do see that.
They took super glue and put like Target gift cards in them, yeah. Super glued them into the credit card slot so that we can't get them out. We have a lot of they'll take dollar bills and they'll roll a penny up in a dollar bill and then put it in the coin slot. Yeah. They're paying more for the, with a dollar bill than they would to pay for the meter. I don't understand it, but we get that a lot too.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know that. That's
another
thing. Yeah, but you know the company we work with, IPS, we're in good communication with them pretty often. You know, they're salesmen, they're gonna try to sell us new technology. So we're always looking out for new ways to collect that revenue. Another option they're pushing is a text to pay. So just like JR mentioned the phone number, there's also an option to text to pay, where you just, you text the 5-digit code, you know, and then a website pops up where you enter your credit card on the phone, you know, on the website, basically.
Right.
You know, I do want to say that you know, last year we were averaging around 300 or so meters out of service. So this number is pretty good compared to our out of service rate historically, but it's still not to the level where we'd like to see it. But I want to see 95% of those in service all the time, and really 100, but I would say 95% is a good goal. All right, with no other questions for that item, parking service agent staffing levels and position reallocation plan. So currently we have 3 open positions. Two staff members were hired on January 6th. One out of those 2 has already finished training, so they're on their own. One is lagging a little bit behind. And so we're gonna open the remaining of the positions hopefully within a couple weeks. The reallocation plan is our attempt at increasing our retention. Number one, attracting talent and then retaining it. So the reallocation involves, we have 2 levels of parking service agents. There's a 1 and a 2. The 1 is the starting position, and the 2 you can attain after 1 year of experience. We've been approved and we have started the process to reallocate all of our 1s to 2s. So we're no longer gonna hire 1s. We're gonna hire them straight off as 2s. That starting rate pushes them from originally, the average starting rate for a 1 is $16.50 an hour. And now it's gonna be $17.33 an hour. So we think that that's gonna help us with competition for other jobs. And that $17.33 isn't a fixed rate, that's just the average. The city uses a matrix to determine your starting rate when you get hired, and that takes into account your experience and your resume, your application. So some of the folks that we're hiring, for example, one of those, the 2, I think started closer to $20 an hour. So the matrix does allow for your experience to bump up your starting salary. So the reallocation does take a little bit. We have to do it in steps. And we've already gotten the first three done, and we just have to go through the rest of those. So we'll have 11 PSA2s. That'll be our staffing. Instead of 6 1s and 5 2s, it'll just be 11 twos. So that's our plan. We're hoping to keep people on a little bit longer as a result of that. Okay. Any questions on that? Absolutely. Yeah, one of the things we heard in exit interviews was the pay rate, you know, and that's one of the things that we wanted to attack right away. Moving on to parking garage security hours and maintenance update. So, as you know, Park Tucson contracts with Garda World to provide security services in our parking facilities. That includes our surface lots and garages. It consists of a supervisor and then security officers. The security officers man the entrance and exits, and they also help us conduct our pay on entry operation. Our pay on entry operation is conducted on Fridays and Saturdays, and that's when we have our credit card devices at the entrance, and we charge that flat rate as you enter the garage. And then at the end of the night, when you're ready to leave, you just exit without needing to pay. That gets folks out of the garages quickly. So that's something our security folks do for us. They do customer service and pay on entry. In looking at our financial situation and the current needs of the facilities, we decided to reduce our security hours by 64 hours per week. We're gonna see some good savings with that in the neighborhood of, I think, $30,000 a year. For that, security is our biggest cost, so that's really the biggest opportunity for us to save on costs. That does come with risks. What we reduced was the starting time. So we moved that starting time from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. for two garages, Pennington and Centro. We still have a 24-hour roving supervisor position. They're constantly making the rounds, going around the facilities. One issue that we've seen recently are high school kids hanging out and causing a ruckus in this garage. Usually between 3:30 p.m. and 5 p.m. It's after school lets out. We've talked to them. We've pleaded with them to not come and cause problems. It is affecting the reputation of this garage. We have received complaints about feeling a little unpleasant, you know, entering here when the kids are hanging out on the top floor or the stairwells, and our security services, our roving supervisors, focusing in on those hours to make sure those kids don't come in. The police are also helping with us. Additional patrols have been promised by TPE. But you know, with these reducing hours and the need of a financial situation, those risks are there. Maintenance for our garages, we are negotiating with our facilities cleaning company, New Image, to reduce our monthly costs. That's also a big cost for us, about $24,000 a month. With the reduction in those fees comes reduced services, mainly pressure washing. So we were receiving pressure washing services once a month, one garage a month, and that's going to be reduced to one garage a quarter. So due to our finance and our deficit, we feel that, you know, we're going to have to, you know, make some cuts here. And unfortunately, that does impact our security and the cleanliness of our locks. But we're going to stay on top of those two items. It's not set in stone. We have the ability to negotiate with those companies and adjust those hours from time to time. So the other thing we've put off is our structural maintenance plan. So originally, we have a 5-year plan for structural maintenance for our facilities. We received that plan from Walker Consultants. And the first year, really was last year, we pushed that to this year. It was about $50,000 for structural improvements or maintenance in this garage. And these are cosmetic things we're talking about. This doesn't affect the actual structure of the facility. We did talk with them and they said, that's fine if you push it off another year. So We're foregoing or pushing, deferring the maintenance for the Pennington garage to next fiscal year, so that's after July 1st. So we anticipate a $50,000, and maybe with inflation and increased costs, maybe that's going to be around $60,000 or $70,000 next year. So those are some of the updates and the reductions in our security and maintenance. And I'll take any questions about that.
Are the cuts based on your current budget deficit or anticipation of next year's budget allocation?
The current budget, yeah. We're addressing the deficit as much as we can this year, trying to get whole next year, it's looking like. But I think Trudy will share some of that in our financial report today. Okay, upcoming special events. Two that are on our mind, the Gem and Mineral Show and the 4th Avenue Street Fair. So for the Gem Mineral Show, we're actually we do a couple things for that show. I'll just show you real quick on the map here. Simpson, which, so there is a, help me out, JR, I keep on going, right? Let's see.
Keep going further north.
North?
Yeah. Right there, a little further north.
This is Simpson, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Simpson turns into, my eyes are a little bad.
Mission.
So there's a private parking lot operator that uses this dirt lot, and it's really busy during the gem show. And this access road to the lot, even though it's marked with no parking signs, people park here. And it forces the pedestrians to walk in the middle of the street, which conflicts with vehicles. So today or tomorrow, we're getting A-frame barricades. We did this last year, and we're gonna get ahead of it this year. We're gonna just block off the dirt portions on either side of this road to make sure that nobody parks there, and it becomes a little bit safer for access to that lot. Also in this neighborhood to the west of the freeway, would it be this neighborhood?
Right there, yeah.
Yeah. This neighborhood is called
Kroger Lane?
I'm sorry?
Kroger Lane.
We essentially turn them into a residential parking permit program. They don't ask for it, but we do it anyways. So we mail out 4 permits per household in order to park here. We did get a lot of complaints in the past from gem show participants who are taking up parking in here. So we already placed signs on the streets in this neighborhood. Permit parking only, and the residents have permit parking permits here to park. So that's another area where we try to help the neighborhood with impacts for the gem show. Let's see, what else are we doing for the gem show? We do the barricades on Simpson. The frontage road. So the frontage road along the freeway is another area where we see illegal parking. ADOT is technically responsible for the frontage road. They are putting up signs and barricades, and we'll go ahead in there and enforce the no parking along the frontage road. There is a bike lane. I'm not sure if it's actually labeled a bike lane. It looks like a bike lane, but there's about a 3 or 4 foot lane along each curb on the frontage road, and it's no parking. It's marked no parking, but the U-Hauls and the vans tend to park there to load and unload from the motel rooms and along the show sites along the freeway. So very dangerous because, as you know, the frontage road, vehicles get up to speed real fast there, and it just becomes a little dangerous. So that's another area where we'll hit during the gem show during February. And those are our 3 main areas of focus for the gem show this year.
Do you have like the official dates of the gem show?
Yes. First through the 16th.
Thank you.
But it's actually already started.
Yes, I got it.
And it will go through March. So it's kind of, that 2-week period is kind of the bookend of TGMS and AGTA.
Okay.
But on either side of that, this year I think we've got 52 official shows registered valley-wide.
Is that an all-time high?
It ties an all-time
high. Yes,
and those are just the ones that, you know, we can reach and contact a show owner or operator. There's a lot of other stuff going on in the recesses of the frontage road and so forth that aren't official shows, but 52 official.
Yeah, that's great. Good news. The other special event, of course, is the 4th Avenue Street Fair. And Lorraine, that's March 21st, I believe?
21st through 23rd.
We are planning to meet internally and then with FAMA to talk about who's responsible for putting meters. As you know, on 4th Avenue, typically in the past, and we think this is going to continue, FAMA goes ahead and blocks those meters off with signs or barricades. They provide the labor for that, but there's other side streets that abut, excuse me, Fourth Avenue, where we'll go ahead and put those meters in support of the Fourth Avenue street there. So in the past, we haven't charged FAMA for those services. Typically, you know, if any organization requests meter putting reservations, there is a fee after that, but we're gonna talk to FAMA about that fee and try to negotiate whether we charge for those side street reservations. And we're not gonna propose charging for the Fourth Avenue itself because we don't actually conduct that labor to block off those meters. So that's gonna be our proposal. That's our initial thought, is to take in a little bit more revenue from the side street meter hooding. And it's not that much. It's two or three side streets. But more to come. That's just our initial thought there. So that's really what we're looking for. It's a little bit of a change compared to how we've operated in the past. And looking forward to another successful street fair on 4th Ave. I will point out, and I'm going to give us a little bit of a preview, because I did want to talk about something that came up in the marketing meeting. But Amanda Valenzuela here with us created a special event parking page. And one of the sections here is upcoming events. And you can see we had Dillinger Days and Tucson Jazz Festival recently. But we have, for example, the Gem and Mineral Show. And here's our Gem Show public parking map. And then we have 4th Avenue Street Fair, where to park for 4th Ave. So a little more focus on the special events here on our website.
I can't see that far. Does anywhere on there mention about camping? Because we get so many folks coming to support the Gem Show and support the street fair that camp. They don't move their cars for 4 days. Mm-hmm. Some of the smarter guys, like, they'll move it every 2 days. But I mean, I just see it in my neighborhood. And it's just like the Wednesday before street fair, they're all white vans with things from away. And they park and they don't leave till Sunday night.
Yeah, we don't have that listed on the website, unfortunately. We can.
Close for 2 hours all over the place. I know that's not enforced yet, but I mean.
Yeah, no, we do care about that for sure. Like the Gem Show, with our increased patrols around the Gem Show area, we will monitor the 2 hour parking or any of the time restrictions. I think, JR, we also have special no parking. We add no parking signs on a street because we do anticipate camping, and there's they create blind spots for turning. So we do know a couple hot spots. Well, I'm thinking closer to the Gem Show, not necessarily.
They get pretty well over by 4th Avenue. Yeah,
and generally around the 4th Avenue Street Fair, we enforce safety violations. We do not enforce permit parking in the neighborhoods around the street fair to allow for more parking. But I think two street fairs ago, last spring, we got a few complaints from folks who did receive tickets for safety violations. Parking too close to driveways, too close to intersections, stop signs, things like that. Things that really impact your line of sight and cause an issue. We receive comments like, oh, I'm never coming to the street fair again because I got a ticket. And you know, we look at those cases on a case-by-case basis, and we can choose to turn those violations into warnings. We were pretty strict 1 year ago and did not issue refunds. Really wanted to hit home that safety message. But this last street fair in the winter, we didn't receive any concerns or complaints that I'm aware of, even though we did issue safety violations. But we'll definitely hit those areas of concern for safety.
So, Tom, the camping, you ignored, is that what you're saying?
No, if we don't ignore it, if there's a time restriction, you know, posted, we will take it. And JR, remind me, camping, I mean, it's a private vehicle. They can't park for longer than
24 hours, but we've never enforced it during street fair.
Oh, we just don't enforce it during street fair.
That's why I asked.
Yeah,
so you brought
it
up for 5 years.
And
yeah.
Oh, okay.
For the more than 20 years that the two of us have been here, we've never enforced the vehicles that are parked for the street fair because they're trying to get those people in, so we've never enforced it.
Okay. And we'll, it's a little too late to change that, to have the discussion, I think, for the, I mean, we can have that discussion, but we'll talk about it. We're setting up a meeting with DTM yeah. staff about the street fair. We can definitely bring that up.
I wonder if this go around, it's like a warning or something.
Oh yeah.
Slowly.
I mean, I think, at least historically, Bama has, you know, been pretty vocal with the vendors, you know, like drop off your stuff and offer parking like away. I don't know if that's still an issue, but nobody wants to leave their van with all their gear in it, you know, like 8 blocks away, so they choose 2 blocks away. But then that's the thing that forces people to park like the safety violations once there's just nowhere to go.
Ooh.
Anyway.
With the people who do camp, you're gonna run into generators.
Tucson, I talked to you about whatever they had going on last weekend, Friday. There was like buses. It took a video all day Friday. Like a big like touring bus was in front of my house for 6 hours, 7 hours with its motor on.
Oh my gosh.
And there was like 22 small buses and then like maybe 10 school buses on 8th all day Friday night, all night Friday. It was like living in a parking lot with every single car on. It's just gotten so bad back there. It's just turning into not healthy.
Yeah, no, I did not hear about anything that Tucson High had arranged.
I did.
Past weekend?
Yeah, I think it was like some sort of like cheerleading party or something, competition. I didn't call because I didn't know if there was like a arrangement.
No, there's no arrangement.
With that many buses.
Okay. Yeah, you definitely could call Park Tucson and we can send an agent there and move them along. It sounds like it was parked in a permit area. The part of the
whole side of 8th Street says drop off and park.
On the north side.
Yeah, they were there all day, Friday night. Saturday's fair game, but then on the permit side too, yeah.
No, they did not reach out to us to coordinate.
Okay.
Sure. And then the last topic here is the food trucks and peddlers update. I'm scheduling a meeting with DTM. I'm sorry I don't have an update yet. It's the same update I had during the subcommittee meeting. But we are gathering the troops to talk about food trucks and peddlers and make sure that DTM and the city is on the same page regarding enforcing those any codes. We handle it from a parking standpoint. Code enforcement is also involved, so we're going to get several different divisions involved and talk about that, so we're on the same page and can have a consistent message going forward. I'm sorry there hasn't been too much progress on that, but we promise there will be a meeting and we'll provide an update at the next subcommittee meeting and commission meeting. All right, any questions about any items in this report?
You guys have that meeting set, or you just know it's coming soon?
It's not set yet. It's coming soon. Within the next 2 weeks, we plan to meet.
Cool. Thank you for your admin
report.
That's great that all the meters will be back up soon.
Yes. Yes, that's the goal.
Pretty good.
Absolutely.
Okay, we move on to the financial statement.
You want to put them up there?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I do have eyeglasses on order. Trudy, just direct me what to do.
All right, thanks, Tom. All right, we do have a printout of this in front of each of you as well, but these are the actuals as of December 31st. So our revenues have not changed much since last year at this time. If just looking over each section of the revenues, there's not a great amount of change, and once we get to the final bottom line, there's a slight 3% decrease in how much revenue we had brought in last year at this time. And the operating expenses are also just down a little bit by 6%. Overall, we are in the black. We are spending less than we've made so far this year. And, all right, so there it shows in the black by $249,146. And then the following page of this, we are going to eliminate going forward because it is a straight line of the budget, which is not really how Park Tucson operates. So we will just skip over that page. And the final page is our pie graph to show which revenues come in the highest. And so, as Tom was talking about our five-year plan, we do anticipate our revenues performing better next year with the addition of Mercado Shopping Center. And then, you know, we're still waiting to see about our hour extensions or meter rate increases to see if that'll help with the revenues coming in. But as far as we have the five-year plan set up right now, it looks like we will not end as far in the red as we expected to, as we did the previous years. So we'll start chipping away at the $580,000 deficit that we're currently in.
Trudy, where on the report does it show the deficit?
This is just really the, you know, the actuals from last year at this time to this year at this time.
Okay.
So I don't know if you have the five-year plan.
I don't have it ready to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But that's where it is shown, and we can certainly distribute it, right? I sent it to you about a week ago, so we have the most updated version of it.
Absolutely, yes. We can definitely plan to share that during the next commission meeting.
Okay, perfect. Any questions about the financials?
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Can you remind me what recovered expenses? What fits in that bucket? Under other revenue?
Under revenue, those are usually from risk management. So it's where there's been an accident or something, and we collect revenue from insurance. This number is a little bit skewed this year, and I am so sorry, I do not have my notes in here, but I recall that was going to come up, and I had some good notes from our finance commission meeting. Do you guys recall? You recall, Dale?
No, I don't.
No, I am so sorry.
Last year there was 40,000, this year there's 100 in revenue. And that would explain that it's a claim for some revenue from a risk management thing. Mm-hmm. But then on this page, it shows the FY25 recovered expense as 40,000. But then in this one, it shows it as 111. So I just wonder if that was just
So I'm looking for the 40,000, and is it on that page that is budget to actual report? Is the title at the top?
So it's actually right there on that one. Yeah, this 25 is 40,000.
Yes, that is why I didn't want to share this one, because what we did with the 25 budget is divided it by 12. So when it brings it over here, it is just such a skewed picture.
So the budget year to date, it's just divided and it's not actuals year to date.
Right. The first column is the actuals year to date. Yeah. And then the second column is divided by 12.
Yeah.
So it just is not how Park Tucson brings revenue in at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And while we're on that, we discussed that extensively at the committee, and we approved doing away with the straight line budget as being irrelevant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I, as an accountant over the years, I hate straight line budgets, and so it was an easy decision for me. But because I don't think straight line budgets give you anything. Yeah.
It's too late to notice things that are askew.
Yeah. You're not getting a good match with your, for instance, I did a lot of restaurant accounting. Believe me, straight line budget for a restaurant in Tucson, restaurants, I've seen as much as a 50% drop in parts of the year, so a straight line budget is really irrelevant. That situation, and we have some of that same issue.
You answered my question, thanks.
Thank you, Trudy. Mm-hmm. So, overall deficit, we're at 580?
Yes, 580,899 was our carryover from last year.
Got it. Yeah, so the carryover really a result from COVID as a main factor there, mm-hmm. still trying to take on.
Thank you.
Okay, so if there's no more questions or discussion on that, we can move on to item number 8, review of revised proposed extended meter enforcement numbers.
All right, thank you. As you all recall, in our meeting in November, it was decided to push this to this year, to future meetings, so here we are. And wanted to recap, a little bit of what we talked about last year. Of course, I won't go into this really, really in depth because we've heard it a million times, but all the science behind the meter enforcement hours, we've listed on our website. We do talk about turnover and why it's beneficial, and the main goal is to provide that available, convenient parking for our customers. As you know, we currently have our financial situation with our deficit, and the need to reduce the deficit is an important factor. I know last year we really didn't hit on that, on the financial issues as much as it really does play a factor. We did focus on the turnover. So we do know based on car counts that the availability is not there. There's a misconception about available parking. We do have available parking. We have an abundance of parking. It's just that it looks like it's all taken because after 5 o'clock, everyone's parked there and just looks like it. We have plenty of capacity in our garages and service lots. So the financial condition of Park Tucson and the need to pay for our increased costs, keep up with security and maintenance, is really a big factor here in this proposal. So I just want to thank everybody for the really open and candid feedback during this process. As you know, we conducted a survey across the city to garner that feedback. I don't think anybody was surprised about the negative feedback. It was 99% negative. And that was really, pretty obvious that was going to happen. I don't think we were surprised, and we think that would have been common across, any survey in any city conducted on this subject. We weren't anticipating glowing feedback. But the goal was conducting a survey was to understand what the pain points are, what concerns from the businesses would be and the citizens, and how to leverage downtown and how we move forward with this proposal. We can try to directly address the top concerns. So the top concerns from the survey were available employee parking and its effects on businesses. So the concern about employee parking, safety and lighting, heard that loud and clear, discussed that internally. And what I've done over the past month or so is work with some private parking lot operators on potentially helping us. Oops, it's not connected. And really what I try to do is find some employee parking around 4th Avenue. We know in downtown we have all of our lots, garages, we sell employee parking, monthly commuter parking, and we have plenty of that available in downtown. But 4th Avenue was an area of concern. So we've spoken with the large apartment complex already on 4th, and we've met with them, and they have it's a covered lot. It's not the surface lot right on 4th, but if you go into that surface lot and make a left under their building, there's about a 30 space parking lot. And that's really intended for visitors to the commercial lease space that they have available at their building. None of the commercial lease space has been rented yet. They're still working on that. So that's really an available lot. What's happening is there are people parking in there for free. There's no enforcement. It's taking up parking with folks that shouldn't be there. Ari on 4th believes that these are a lot of employees around 4th Avenue. And they actually approached us. This was kind of good for both parties. They approached us about doing enforcement in there, keeping the folks that aren't supposed to be in there away. And I go, okay, can we use some of your parking for that purpose? If we have permits and enforcement, they go, absolutely. So we have 13 dedicated spaces in there right now that they'll give to us for employee parking. So we plan to make that available within the next month. We're working with them on signage, and we're gonna have an agreement with them to enter their property and conduct enforcement in that area. I'm also talking with two owners of parking lots. One is at the, they're both at the 5th Avenue and 7th Street, and one is Scott Cummings, one is Scott Stidler, and we haven't agreed to anything yet. We're still talking, but a potential for about 13 monthly parking spaces, 13, another 13 here on 5th and 7th on the southeast corner, and the southwest corner in Corbett's, asking for about 10. It's a little tougher in this lot. It is access controlled. We'd have to work with them on how to get folks in and out. But 5th and 7th is really an open parking lot with a pay station, and we can dedicate some signage and some parking spaces there. And then another area for potentially 10 additional permit parking spots is on 3rd Avenue, adjacent to the Tucson High Football Stadium. As you know, those are just free parking. They're not time restricted right now. And are used by the students mainly and folks in the neighborhood, but we were talking about potentially marking off 10 of those. So in total here, you know, you're looking at 40 to 50 spots potentially for additional employee parking on 4th Ave within walking distance. Don't really have options north of 6th, but these are all, you know, within a short walk from that area. So this is just one approach that we had to dealing with those concerns.
So the individuals would pay the $45 a month or $150 a year. How will we let those businesses know that parking's available?
Right, so the goal would be to work with FAMA directly in allocating those spots, working with the businesses, making them aware of the availability, and individual parkers would sign up through Park Tucson just like any regular monthly parker would. But really want to dedicate those spots to employees on 4th.
What happens when they're not parked, when no one's parked there? Are they just unusable?
Correct, they would be unusable. 3rd Avenue, we could do like a permit time if we wanted to, like, you know, during the day, it could be, you know, nothing, but then permit only after 3 p.m. or 5 p.m., something like that.
Is
So students can still park there for free, but employees need to pay to park to go to work for an hour.
Right,
yeah.
Could do that, I mean, right? Or
no,
we just do a permit
ridiculous.
Only. Yeah, so in that case, permit only. You know, it just would be permit, and that way the day shift employees or the evening shift employees can use it. So that was, you know, our approach to employee parking. The other area that we heard concern was the impacts on businesses. And we do know that we have some data out of Seattle that showed a 5% increase in sales tax when they extended their parking meter enforcement hours. We would hope for similar results here because the turnover increases availability and folks to shop and dine and stuff like that. But rest assured, we would work with businesses and monitor impacts. We wouldn't just, you know, put this out there and not monitor it anymore. We would see what's going on, how it's really impacting, and make adjustments if needed. The other thing we wanted to do is, you know, we heard the pain point about 8 p.m. and as you know, we had a few options for parking extended hours. And the original option was 8 to 8. And what I'm proposing is for us to consider reducing that by an hour to 7 p.m. And that you know, might not be a big, you know, give, but it's something. This would reduce our additional estimated revenue to $460,000 a year. And to change the rollout date. You know, we had always stated early 2025, but I'd like us to consider a proposed rollout date of May 19th. That's a Monday. It's after graduations are done for the University of Arizona. So a little bit of an easier time for folks to deal with. But that 7 p.m. would really allow people arriving for drinks or early dinner or a show to be okay because they can pay for those 2 hours. We have some turnover there, but then after 7 p.m., it's free parking, or the rest of the evening is free. So our hope is taking this feedback, having conversations about these different proposals with the stakeholders, and you know, get through our springtime festivals, our winter and springtime festivals, as is. And when less people are in town to enact this, so our team can be prepared to, you know, enforce it. We would start with warnings. This would be a soft rollout May 19th, and our team, you know, be prepared to answer any questions. We do continued outreach. We would start with warnings, and you know, the DTM team would plan on looking, exploring, and, you know, monitoring this and making any changes. DTM is also looking at. We're always looking at our rates, you know, at the right level. Next year, there is a plan to work with a consultant to look at all DTM rates. That could include parking rates, plan checks, things like that. But no rate increases would be scheduled for 2025. So, you know, if this is something that the commission would like to look at, you know, and discuss, or make any proposed changes, you know, I'd like to continue to push for the extended meter hours to provide that on-street parking, provide the employee parking, and to provide that turnover. And I just think it's important that during this time we're making data-driven decisions, so we'd be monitoring everything, and then really understanding the impact on your businesses and understanding, you know, how that the behavior and the revenue is going to impact. You know, the costs are going to impact the behavior of the parking situation out there. So with that, I just, I'm not asking for any action, but just discussion and seeing if there's any other suggestions or questions.
I do. I mean, I don't know how many of y'all have gone down 4,000. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, most Thursday nights, 6 p.m. after, there's not hardly any cars anywhere. That's a chunk of time where there's no people there. I mean, Monday nights, I mean, I feel like my business is kind of right in the middle, and I mean, you can throw six rocks and not hit a pot. I can see the reason Friday night, yep, busy. Saturday night, yep, busy. Saturday, busy. For sure, but I think it's going to have a very detrimental effect, at least on 4th Avenue, on the slower nights. Is May 19th, will the Mercado work look so they will finally be paying for parking over there by then?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
that's our goal.
Will Links be completed?
Links is now scheduled. So the arrangement would be we wouldn't change meter hours on 4th Avenue until Links is complete. That's a promise.
Is that May 19th?
No. So I wish I had that, and I think it might be on our website.
December.
Okay, so thank you, Amanda. End of this year.
And more.
So
we would roll this out without 4th Avenue, right? 4th Avenue.
Okay.
That's a new person. Let me tell
you
what this is.
Yeah.
You know where you can't keep going west on St. Mary's after Stone? It's that kind of completion of the Bras Aviation. So that was more problematic when they were working over kind of like behind where y'all's offices are, to, you know. But it was just an issue because circulation was so bad when they started, and the idea of raising rates for parking, it was just like, well, there isn't. We were, like, a lot of our streets were closed and access. It's not quite as bad now, at all, but it was just like a thing that the city said we won't do until Links is over.
Yeah, and what downtown Links will allow is it gets some of the commercial traffic off of Congress, so it's another way to get to the 10 freeway instead of going down Congress to and from. We see a lot of commercial trucks on Congress right through downtown, and of course with regular private vehicles. It's a quicker link between east of downtown and the 10 freeway, essentially.
Yeah, to aviation.
Tom, what kind of ramp-up time does your organization need to implement this plan if it is to be effective on May 19th? My assumption would be that you'd want to start now. How much lead up do you know in terms of communication, reconfiguring the meters, all that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm. It's reconfiguring the meters is really a quick process. I mean, that's probably a few weeks, right, JR?
Yeah.
Even less than a few weeks.
Yeah.
Signage, we would have to talk with our sign shop. I want to say 2 months.
Probably.
For our sign shop. So we really need, I would say 2 months at the most of ramp up time. And we would, you know, propose having additional stakeholder communications. We could hold open house type events, town halls. We didn't get a whole lot of participation. I think we had less than 30 total between both town halls.
You think the nature of the feedback would change between what you've gotten and what you'd ask for now? I think it's going to be the same.
I think it will be the same feedback.
I mean, I don't know about downtown, but I still don't, you know, haven't had a lot of communication with businesses that are in support of this.
I'm assuming you were looking at.
Yeah, I am.
I haven't talked to anyone that supports it, but I think that's pretty obvious. Like the survey, you know, we wouldn't get full support for extending it, so. Yeah, this time I wouldn't support it.
I mean, that's a message I think that when it came out, particularly to folks super paying attention, was like, oh, we need better circulation. But if it's really a revenue generator, that might need to be more transparent.
Absolutely.
I have a thought. If we're not going to roll this out for 4th Avenue until, you know, the end of the year when Links is done anyway, if we do a soft rollout in downtown and Mercado, you know, at the end of May, then we've got some, you know, maybe 6 months or something like that, where after it's been in fact, we can look at the data from the businesses in those two areas, and then we would have, like, the actual data to know in reality, is it hurting these businesses? Is it helping these businesses? Is it neutral? and that could help to inform us as to whether or not to bring it over to 4th Avenue.
I mean, 4th Avenue has less parking than both of these areas, so it's going to be a bigger issue there anyway.
It does have less parking, and so that kind of could cut either way, you know. So if it is something that, when we look at it in these other two areas, and it's been operating for 6 or 7 months, you know, do we know, does it do what we hope it will, which is to cause a lot of turnover and parking availability? And we'll know that. It may be that, you know, we do it for 6 months and we look at it and it's just a complete cluster. And we're like, oh, well, that was a really freaking bad idea. And we can roll it back in the other two places if that's what it looks like is needed. But we'll have the data to know. I mean, granted, you know, the thinking now is it will have a bigger effect one way or the other on 4th Avenue. It might be that it helps it more. Might be that it hurts it more, but at least if we know kind of what we're dealing with from the actual operation of it for 6 months, I'm hoping that that would help to alleviate some of the concern of the 4th Avenue merchants going, oh my God, it's going to be terrible. Maybe we'll know. Yeah. It's scary, but it might not be that terrible, but it might be terrible. But we'll know.
Right.
When does Park Tucson have to submit its budget to the city manager's office, and in doing so, will you anticipate this revenue or not?
Very good question.
For FY26, when is it due?
Yep.
Today.
No, I just do that. So we wouldn't, yeah. So we'd be concerned.
I'd like to make a motion.
So we did consider the Mercado as part of the revenue in submitting the FY26 budget. But yeah, this has just been up in the air, so.
Yeah. So in our 5-year plan, we reduced the anticipation of rolling this out. Right? We didn't include revenue for this.
Right.
Right.
Is there any other discussion or ideas or? please, Richard.
I just walked through 4th Avenue to get here. And I just see all this parking that's not going to get used at all until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe a little bit for lunch. It just seems like a waste. It's all restricted. I would like to see something done with that parking.
It's like that all most of the time, except for Saturday, Sunday, and Friday and Saturday night. Even Sunday night, by time, you know, by 9 o'clock, it's pretty ghost town.
Absolutely. But, you know, all morning long, it's just empty. And I understand why you need to have some kind of restriction, because if you don't, Tucson Hikers will just park the whole thing up and boom, and bring another enforcement issue.
Yeah. And that, you know, maybe a reason why in the past, you know, we had different times, different options for different, you know, areas. You know, and as we discussed last year, we thought it was a better idea to just apply a uniform, you know, time limit. So, you know, this is still, you know, an option if we want to divide up the districts and assign different times, you know, to the districts.
Was having a tiered time frame or enforcement thing assist you in enforcement? I mean, if, like, okay, it's past 7 p.m. downtown, let's move over and check out an area where we're charging through now.
Yeah, that could be something we can incorporate operationally. It might help. Initially, you know, extending the hours. You know, our enforcement agents typically work till 5 p.m. Monday through Wednesday. Right, JR?
Mm-hmm.
And then Thursday through Saturday, we're in the evening, so we really focus on the activity. If we extend this, you know, to 7 p.m., we'd have to look at our schedules, and it's going to cost us a little more labor, probably, you know, to do the enforcement as well. We'd have to look at scheduling wise, we could, you know, even if it's just one agent, you know, hey, you stop at 7 p.m. somewhere, then move over to the other, you know, area. That's definitely something to consider. Yeah. Could definitely do that.
So the deficit that we were talking about earlier in the budget discussion, will carry into next year.
Correct? I'm sorry, what was that?
The deficit will carry into next year.
Oh, yeah.
And these revenues, along with your proposed cost-saving measures for security and maintenance, are designed to neutralize that deficit.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So without approving this plan, that deficit stays and grows, and you engage in more cost savings and cutting of services to the parking public.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the revenue generated from extended meter hours would go right back into Park Tucson for security, upkeep, and everything that we do here. Yeah.
Just all that in. I mean, bottom line, the deficit that's there, it's there until we get revenue that offsets it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, that's the bottom line, is that it doesn't go anywhere until we do something to get it to go away. And maybe that's just increasing, you know, volume in parking garages or whatever. But, you know, I mean, keep in mind that when we were thinking about this back when Don was here, we were looking at his last estimate was it was going to take until 27 to get current. And so, you know, and that's where some of these concepts started coming from, is, you know, how do we get more revenue to eliminate that sooner? And of course, argue over how much we've managed to get back to normal. I hate to use the word normal, but that's, you know, I mean, eventually we got to get it back to zero, and then when we get back to zero, you know, I mean, in the old days we were like $1.85 million in surplus. And the value of that was highly demonstrated because it impacted the early managed use through the early part of the pandemic in reasonable shape. But of course, we ran through that money and eventually we built up the deficit. So.
Tom, Janine's proposal sounds very workable in terms of implementing it where you can now, holding off on the commitment to not adjust the 4th Avenue corridor until the Lynx project is complete, whether that's December or next March. Is that a feasible approach for your organization?
Yes.
Okay.
I have one more, like, just a small question. I've been hearing conversations in different groups about wanting to do some pedestrian closures on Congress, then maybe eventually growing to 4th Avenue for Friday and Saturday. Who would then pay for the hooding for that? And is that anything that's been talked about with Park Tucson?
No, we've seen a plan for the Congress closure. I haven't seen anything for 4th Avenue personally.
That would be like after the Congress one goes well.
Okay.
Because if you think about vehicular circulation, mm-hmm. where are vehicles meant to go once they hit the 4th Avenue underpass if Congress is closed? Like, that's a whole different thing. That's like a DTM issue.
Right. I think it would be a DTM, like, for meter hooding, for, you know, city-approved street closures. I think that we wouldn't charge businesses.
So that'd just be a wash.
Yeah, yeah. I think we would just close the street, and if the right-of-way is closed, so we wouldn't
if they close Congress,
or at least charge
them.
We probably could have done
it
without
charge.
Yeah, let
me do it.
Would it make sense then for someone to offer a motion now to adopt the plan in its amended format with its tiered enforcement, given the changes or amendments you've made to it in terms of hours, etc.? And just take the pulse of this body to see how close we are to getting this done. If that's acceptable to the chair, I would make such a motion.
It's fine with me.
Can you word that motion for me, please?
Yeah.
What is your motion?
to take a vote of the commission on the amended meter extension program, given the caveat that 4th Avenue corridor enforcement wouldn't begin until the conclusion of the Lynx project.
I'll second.
Discussion?
Would there be additional outreach included in that? Because you mentioned in the verbiage of the motion that it would include kind of the administrator's new approach. So our change, adding the tiers, and will there be additional outreach about this? If so, maybe that could be included in the amendment or the motion.
Agreed.
So what are the tiers?
The pursuit of employee parking in the 4th Avenue corridor, the reduction from 8 to 7, is that correct, Tom?
Yes.
And then district enforcement is everything, or area of enforcement is everything but 4th Avenue.
Until this is completed.
So, the Lynx thing. You say December.
That's the estimate right now.
For that, I mean, the Lynx constructor people came to a meeting and said August. Very, very recently. Mm-hmm. And I knew they weren't telling the truth, so.
And before that, it was spring. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. December, I believe you. That's our prediction. Thanks.
Okay, thanks everybody. So then we can move on to subcommittee reports, finance and capital needs.
I think the guy pretty well reported already whatever we discussed.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't remember the one issue.
I actually reached out, and they're definitely insurance claims, so we haven't had any this year. And that small 111 that we're seeing in the budget is a carryover from previous years that was missed. So they added it to our revenue. And then, as you were saying on that second page, it's just where we took the whole budget of what we thought risk management claims would be and divided by 12. So yeah, please just ignore that. Last year we brought in 51,000 insurance claims at this time, and this year we're only at 111 with actually no claims.
That's pretty awesome. And then business district, we did meet.
Yeah, we met. And I'm sorry, I didn't bring my notes today. But we met January 8th, and a lot of what we talked about is on Tom's administrator's report. So on-street parking meter status, staffing levels, garage security hours, special events. Tom is always awesome about his report. I think the last meeting, and Jill, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we mostly talked about the food trucks and peddlers,
mm-hmm.
and it was a similar update to what Tom did here, in that DTM's gonna have an internal meeting and just talk about, you know, what are the actual, I guess, different entities that need to be involved in order to, I guess, make contact with food peddlers, food trucks, because it's kind of, I don't know if you all come down here late Friday, Saturday nights, but it gets a little crazy with the peddlers, and we get complaints from merchants at the DTP just with trash, grease, different kinds of setup in front of businesses like tables, chairs, generators. So obviously there's no enforcement, not saying that Park Tucson needs to enforce, but no enforcement, like city code enforcement, Friday, Saturday night, so it's kind of an issue, and it's kind of a free-for-all. You can just do anything you want. And I think the last time code enforcement made contact, it was more of just an educational thing for these peddlers, and I think they had said something like they made contact with 18 food trucks and peddlers along Congress, 4th Avenue, I don't think any on Main Gate, but that none of them had the proper permits or anything, so they all just got warnings. So we continue to get complaints. I literally just got one yesterday from a business on Congress between 5th and 6th, so it's just an ongoing issue. But that's pretty much. Oh, we did talk about the proposed extended meter enforcement hours a little bit, but I don't have my notes to, I'm not exactly sure what we talked about on that topic.
It was mainly a recap of the proposed changes that I discussed here. Until 7 p.m., the employee parking.
Oh, yes, employee parking.
For one, yeah, because that was still something that passed. So.
I just maybe to put on record, in talking about that, TPD has been very vocal about not loving having the food trucks out past a certain hour, because when folks are drinking and have a place to congregate, they're waiting and waiting and waiting, it becomes a security issue for them, and they have to stretch out more, so they don't love it. Like, no one's super loving it. It's okay kind of till like 9, but whatever. It's an issue on a lot of different levels.
Give me
the answer.
Otherwise, I think that's it. Covered it. I don't know why this thing keeps on the test. I do have a slide for marketing.
Yeah.
There's always a line. Something better than those little donuts. After you get in the barn, you can get back to that.
Did you just come on?
Yeah, but I mean, I think it hurt human nature is that there were people who have done a good job of the tracking. I think you're right, it's not necessarily like a Park Tucson thing. It's kind of a.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, your health department.
Oh, yeah. And the residential parking meeting, residential meeting. Sorry about that. We will have it next time.
Canceled due to lack of proper notice.
Yes, exactly.
Let me call that.
Marketing meeting.
He doesn't get enough shit.
Yeah. He wants to report on marketing.
I can if you'd like me to. Because we had our marketing subcommittee meeting and presented in response to a request to market our products more, an idea about business cards came up, and to include a QR code information on business cards that can be handed out. And Amanda designed these beautiful business cards. We have two options here. One is, the back looks like this, with a little some bullet points here about our products, garages, surface lots, parking meters, and special event parking. And then this is the same information, just a little bolder. I think the group decided on the second option here. We're planning to print these and distribute them to various businesses, Downtown Partnership, they look to you for help, and get this information out. So This QR code would take you to that special event page on our website. And then the monthly commuter parking has its own card because, you know, we have heard that there's a lack of knowledge about our monthly parking options. So this would be a specific card for monthly parking. I think this is a great idea. We would love to move forward with this and distribute these to businesses and employees and all stakeholders. And just to recap, this was the other product of the marketing subcommittee meeting. It's our special parking page with all events listed that are coming up. And we'll get another newsletter out hopefully next month.
Within the next few weeks, okay. Prior to the gem show.
Yeah, prior to the gem show, we'll have another parking newsletter. We do have a lot of subscribers on that, so we push that out. And that's not working.
So what you're printing is a business card type thing?
Yes.
You talked at one point about maybe a drink coaster or
yes.
something like
we
that.
We could do that as well. Absolutely, yeah. That was I think Kathy mentioned that. Yeah, we could do coasters.
And give them to local businesses.
Absolutely. That's definitely something that we could do. And that was like the main mission of the marketing committee. We wanted to just get information out. That was the original goal. And Amanda, am I missing anything?
No, as far as the children's theme, that's a work in progress. This is just kind of an initial stab at it.
I will point out here
that it's kind of broken up by district, and there are some ideas as far as adding some venues or locations that are nearby certain garages. Or just incorporating the different maps that we have for the various districts. So definitely willing to take feedback on that, how you guys would envision that to kind of look as a cohesive page.
Right, so as Amanda mentioned, if you're looking for a Rialto Theater, the Central Garage is convenient to Rialto. Depot Garage, convenient to Hotel Congress. Pennington, convenient to Fox. So it really breaks down, if you're looking by a venue, where to park. So I think that could be helpful for a lot of folks.
Will that be distributed to 4th Avenue as well?
Absolutely. Yes.
Are you going to make a social media campaign with that too?
Yeah, so all of this will kind of add into our newsletters, social media that we're hoping to ramp up. Any other materials that we can get out.
Just share those so that we can go.
Yes.
Yeah. Great. Sure. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's a really great idea.
Yeah, I think it'll increase the
education. Great idea.
Yeah, it should increase education about the parking options around here. Absolutely.
Yes. I totally agree.
Do you have does anybody have any comments or questions on any of the subcommittees? Awesome, we can move on to future agenda items. I don't think I have any. I mean, one thing pops into my head about that, like where's a good place to park if you're going here, and but what if it's full? I know that I was just thinking about circulation and whatever, but just a comment. That's not a future agenda item. I don't think I have any. Was it nobody? Look at that. Well, no, it's 9:26. We can adjourn. What time is it then?
About 9:04.
9:24.